The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, blessed be his triune name forever. Amen. Look what God has done for you. He has done everything for you. You have not done it for yourself. After all, did you decide before you were ever conceived, hey, I want to be born. I want to be a female. I want to be a male. And by goodness gracious, I'm going to do it. No, you did not decide that. God gave you your life out of his kindness and goodness and love. And how about the things you have in life? Did you create them yourself out of nothing? Did you deserve them on account of God, on account of your own goodness, your own holiness, because you are an exceptional human being? Or does God give the things you have in life to you out of his divine fatherly goodness and mercy? Well, if you know the scriptures, you know that you don't deserve them. You don't deserve anything from God except his wrath and his condemnation. And don't be mistaken, I'm not pointing the finger at you and saying, you sinners, without including me in that condemnation, because I too am guilty before God. I too am guilty of thanklessness and the assumption that if I am good enough and do well enough, God will love me. And God will welcome me into his kingdom. And God will receive me to himself at the end of this earthly life. Wrong, dead wrong. Because God's law tells us the way of righteousness, the way of his commandments. Know the commandments. Learn the commandments. Learn their meaning. And see how you measure up. How about the fifth commandment? You shall not murder. You shall not murder. The Catechism explains what this means. We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. We can avoid murdering someone, the act of taking knife or gun or poison, and bringing an end to someone's life. But if we do not provide for someone whose need is apparent before us, and if God has given us the means to do so, we are guilty of murder. And to keep the whole law, but to be guilty at one point, Scripture says, is to be guilty of breaking the whole thing. It's as if commandment after commandment, multiple times lined up before you to accuse you and to say of you, guilty of breaking the first commandment, guilty of breaking the second commandment, guilty of breaking the third commandment, on and on through the 10th commandment. And then it starts all over again, a constant accusation of you and me on account of our sins. And that is not good news. Jesus was asked in today's gospel reading. What must we do to be doing the works of God? What must we do to inherit eternal life? What must we do to get right with God? To work our way into His favor, His good graces. That was the wrong question. Jesus answered that question when the rich young man came to him and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Well, you know the commandments. How about keeping the commandments?" And Jesus named to him the commandments: "You shall not commit adultery, honor your father and your mother, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not murder." And this rich young ruler said of himself, "Well, all those I have kept since my childhood. So what else must I do?" Now, the rich young ruler was looking at the law outwardly. Yeah, he had not murdered. Yeah, he obeyed his parents. Yeah, he did not covet. Yeah, he had not stolen. But did he ever grumble in his mind against his parents because he did not like what they had to say? Did he ever make a mouth at them when they turned their back on him after telling him something to do? Guilty. Guilty of the fourth commandment. Did he ever feel anger and hatred toward someone? To hate is to murder, Scripture says. Guilty. Guilty of the fifth commandment. Did he ever lust after a woman who was not his own? Guilty. Guilty of the sixth commandment. Did he ever begrudge giving to someone in need or want what God had given someone else? Guilty. Guilty of breaking the ninth and tenth commandments. "All these I have done from my youth," he said. Jesus could have said, "Yeah, right." But instead he said, "One thing you lack. Go, you who are so wealthy. Go. You who have so much that God has given you, go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me." And the rich young man went away, his face sorrowful, because he had great possessions. A smudge on my glasses. Jesus cut to the heart of the matter. He showed this rich young man that he was an idolater, that he loved the possessions that God had given him more than he loved the God who had sent his Son to him and for him. He loved his possessions more than he loved his neighbors in need, because he would not sacrifice any of his possessions for the benefit and well-being of his neighbor. Jesus showed this rich young man that he had sinned against the first table of the law: love and faith and trust in God above all things. In the second table of the law, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he went away crestfallen. He went away recognizing the enormity of his sin. He went away recognizing, "How can I possibly be saved since that's what I am?" But Jesus says, what is impossible for men is possible for God. And here is what is possible for God, that He looked down upon us poor, miserable sinners in the sin and death and condemnation that afflict us. And He sends His Son, His only begotten Son, begotten of God from all eternity, into our flesh. He comes down from heaven as a human being, as one of us, in order to drag us out of the awful, terrible, stinking, filthy, destructive pit of our sin, and to reconcile us to God. Here is what is possible for God, that this Son of God, who has taken upon Himself your human nature, live a holy life in your place, keeping both the first table of the law, love and faith in God, and the second table of the law, love for neighbor, for you and for me who are deficient, woefully deficient in fulfilling these tables of the law. Here is what is possible for God, that this Son of God go to the cross and take upon Himself not merely the sins you know, not merely the sins that you are ashamed of, but all the sins you do not know, all the sins you do not recognize, all the sins you are even unwilling to confess before God. And not just your sins, not just your sins, but all of our sins, the sins of all the world, and that He suffer and die on that cross in an agony and anguish and hellish torment that are impossible for us to imagine. Here is what is possible for God, that His Son, who died on the cross and was buried, rise again in His body on the third day. Rise in glory. Rise in that very body that became incarnate of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The very body that He used to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind. The very body that bore your sins on the cross. And this is God's seal of approval upon Jesus' death for you, that He accepted Christ's sacrifice and that you are truly indeed forgiven in Jesus. Here is what is possible for God, that Christ ascend to the right hand of the throne of God, and that He reigns there over all things, and that He is present not merely there, but in His human nature here on earth. And that He comes to you in your baptism to wash you and reclaim you and to give you faith. And He comes to you right now in this preaching of the gospel to assure you and to give you His forgiveness and the eternal life that He came to make available for you. And yes, to give you Himself as the true bread of heaven that comes down for the life of the world, as the bread of life in the sacrament of the altar. Yeah, this is what is possible for God, and you did not accomplish any of these things. What you and I accomplish for ourselves is our utter devastating damnation and condemnation because we are sinners. But what is impossible for us is possible for God. So Jesus tells us not to labor for the food that perishes, earthly bread. God gives us that without any merit or worthiness of our own, but for the food that endures to eternal life, and that food is Jesus. Or as Jesus elsewhere said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And here is the Word made flesh, making Himself present in the gospel, in the preaching, in baptism, in the gift of His body and blood for you. He gives it to you because you need it. So don't ask, what must I do to be doing the works of God? Listen to what Jesus says. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom God has sent. It's God's work. It's the Holy Spirit's work. You know, remember that catechism thingy? You cannot by your own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ your Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called you, gathered you, enlightened, and sanctified you. That's there for a purpose because it speaks the truth. The Holy Spirit, through the gospel, has given you the faith to believe. And that is God's work, one of God's many gracious works for you, anchored in His Son, your Savior. Believe in Him. Believe in Christ. God makes it possible for you. God makes it a reality. Good stuff, huh? The best stuff of all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.